Again, and to come before the Lord's presence would sing how wonderful that is. I requested the song Glorious, and I was sort of instrumental in getting that song put in the book. I fell in love with it. It was written by a Southern Baptist preacher. And one of the reasons he wrote it was he sort of got frustrated in his church because everywhere he would go, the congregation would sit and the choir would get up and sing. And he got to thinking, well, we all need singing. So he started out just, that was his mission. That's what he wanted to accomplish. He went to all the Southern Baptists that he could go to, and he said, let's sing as a congregation. So I'm glad that you were able to do that this morning. It's such a lovely and a beautiful thing when the children of God blend their voices together in singing praise to the one to whom all praise and honor is due. I have a subject upon my mind, and I just never know whether I'm going to have preaching grace or not. And that's a good thing, because we do not depend upon ourselves, we depend upon God the Father. That Holy Spirit to come into our midst, to give me preaching grace and to give you hearing grace. So I ask that you continue to pray for me, that the Lord will grant an open door of utterance, that as we speak these things about His name and about His ways while we live here in the world, that the Lord would give us an understanding. I love the wisdom books of the Bible, don't you? And of course, the Bible is full of wisdom. No matter where you turn, as long as it was penned by God, all of it is wisdom. And you know, you can be real crafty and artful and educated and wise in the things of this world and totally miss what is in this book, because this book is contrary to the path of the world. So the wisdom that we need is not just the wisdom of man. Some of it's good, you know. Some of it's good. It's good to be smart and crafty. It's good to have knowledge about things and how things work and how they operate. All of that's good, and a lot of it is it comes in useful. But when we're talking about the wisdom of God, it's penned in the scriptures for us to read. Listen to what Ezra said, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to the book of Ezra, but Ezra was a scribe. He penned the word of God down, and he would write it down, and so he was a scribe. And he was not just a scribe, that was not just his duty, but it was also his love. He loved the word of God. And he sort of was like B.B. McKinney that I just told you about. Brother McKinney wanted everyone to sing. And Ezra wanted everyone to read the word of God and depend upon it, because he knew that that word that came from God was the wisdom and the direction and the power that we need while we live here in time. So in the 7th chapter of the book of Ezra, we read this: "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." He prepared his heart. How did he do that? Well, first of all, he had to have a heart that was regenerated. He had to have a touch from God, and God reached down and touched him. And so that gave him life. And with that life, Ezra was enabled to do something. He had that heart that was regenerated. But he had that heart that he had to prepare, to make preparation for, to attend to. He had the word of God to read and consult. And so he would hear the prophets, and he would write it down, and he would copy it down for the next generation to read. And he loved the word of God. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Not the law of the land, but the law of the Lord. And that's what America needs to turn back to. You know, sometimes we hear the expression, well, America is not a Christian nation. Well, that may be true officially. We have no official religion. But it was founded on Christian principles. The United States of America was founded on by men and women that loved God and sought His law. And that's what Ezra was determined to do, to prepare his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Not just heed it, not just read it, but Ezra sought to do it, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. To do the word of God. To heed it, to listen to it, and then put it into practice in his life. And that's what he was determined to do. And dear little child of God, we can have that same determination when we look to the Lord our Maker and confess that we are nothing and even less than nothing, but God is all in all. And his word is so important for each and every one. It's important that we heed the word of the Lord and teach it and do it. It's important not only for this current generation, for ourselves and our children, but that which is to follow, that they might have a pathway that will be clear for them to follow. And when they see the word of God, they will recognize it and they will rejoice in it and they will walk in the ways that we have laid down for them. And it's very important, vitally important. It was important in Ezra's day, and it has not lessened. It's important in our day. So I want to talk this morning about some resolves that we ought to have while we live here in time. Earlier this week, I began to read Psalm 119. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. It has 176 verses. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Very important portion of the Bible because it talks about the Word of God. And it's in 22 sections, each section containing 8 verses. And it corresponds to the Hebrew alphabet. We all know the English alphabet is from A to Z. You use that expression, you know, you hear someone talk about he knows everything from A to Z. That just means he knows a whole lot from A to Z. And the Lord said in His Word, you'll find the expression about I am the Alpha and Omega. That was the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And what this is talking about in the 119th Psalm is talking about the very same thing. It begins with Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And we find some very important things about the Word of God. The whole 176 verses is focused on the Word of God and its importance in the life of His children. So the first thing I want to look to would be in verse 59 of the 119th chapter. Verse 59. The psalmist said, I thought on my ways. You know, it does some good sometimes to think on our ways. What are we doing? What is the direction in which we are headed? How do we operate our lives while we live here in town? The Lord gave us life. He gave us breath. And we have the expression in the Word of God, in Him we live and move and have our being. And we know that we're nothing without Him and cannot do anything without Him. And if you've been in the Primitive Baptist Church for any length of time, you've heard that proclaimed just a whole lot. But you know, sometimes we forget that which is proclaimed. Sometimes we feel pretty self-sufficient, don't we? I love the sound that I'm hearing right now. And, you know, some people, they think, well, you shouldn't hear the sound of children in church. You need this private room and get them back in the private room. I want to hear them. I like the sound. It's a wonderful sound. It means there's life. It means there's hope. It means that there's a continuation. While we live here in time, there's something to look forward to. These little children growing up and having little children of their own. And then it just continues on and on. It's such a great blessing. But I love the sound of children. It's a wonderful sound. It's a vibrant sound. And it's a needful sound that we have. I thought on my ways. What is our way? You know, sometimes we want to have our own way. But when we think of our ways, we think about whether we're following in the path that the Lord has laid down for us. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Oh, you know what feet signifies? It signifies the direction and the pathway in which we're going. Feet are very important. You know, in one scripture we read the expression, how beautiful are the feet of those that publish glad tidings. How beautiful. And so that's giving us something. The feet that walk in the Christian way and according to the pattern that God has set for us. That's a beautiful life. Beautiful expression. How beautiful are the feet. Sometimes you may think I'm foolish, but sometimes, occasionally, I get out my birth certificate. I've still got it. And when I was born, they stuck my feet on an ink pad and took prints of my feet. And so sometimes I like to get it out and look at that little tiny little feet. Look at them. Sometimes I think, You know, what direction did those feet go in? I can assure you, and I'm not proud of it, but sometimes those feet went in the wrong direction. But here the Lord is giving us an important lesson that we need to hear. The psalmist said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He had determination just like Ezra did. Ezra was determined to know the law of God and to follow it. And here this psalmist is determined that his feet would be walking in the correct direction, would be walking in the way of the Lord, would be walking in the way of the Scripture. And dear little child of God, the only way that we can walk in the direction of the Scripture is to read it and desire to understand it. It's a wonderful book. It's a needful book for God's little children to read and to understand. And so when we look at our ways and we become determined not to walk in the wisdom of this world, but to walk in the spiritual realm. And the way we do that is to read the Word of God. Did you know if you read the Word of God just 12 minutes a day, every day, that's not much out of a day, is it? If you read the Word of God just 12 minutes a day, you can read it in a year. And it's important for us to heed and read the Word of God. And so the psalmist said, I thought on my ways. We can assess our way and consider it. And the way we find out if we're walking in the biblical way is to compare our life to that which is laid down in Scripture. And it's important that we do that while we live here in the world. And I think that if we do that, we can find peace and happiness that the world knows nothing about. In the 101st Psalm, the 101st verse of 119, the psalmist said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Now there's a way that we ought to walk, and there's a way that we ought not to walk. The Lord gives us the positive and the negative of our walk. So, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And it's important, dear little child of God, that we refrain from doing those things that's not pleasing in the sight of our Lord and Master. And the way we find out whether it's pleasing or not is when we seek out the light of God's word. And when we follow the instruction that it gives us, when we cry out for wisdom, the Lord gives us those things that we need. What was it that James said, the book of James? You know, James was one of my favorite biblical characters. He was a natural half-brother to our Lord, and he lived in the same household as that one which was perfect. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ was total perfection. And he was living in a household that was not. They walked according to the wisdom of the world. And they were human beings. And they had that nature about them that they were inclined and prone to do wrong. And they were living in the household of the Lord. Can you imagine? And you know, brothers sometimes, they're very famous for competing with each other. And you've got the older brother and the middle brother and the baby. And that's the way it happened in my family. And I was the baby. And I had two brothers that I had to try to compete with. And so James was in somewhat the same situation. His older brother was Jesus Christ. James found out some things in the process of time. It took him a while to get there. And one big reason he finally got there, one of the most important reasons, is that the Lord opened his heart. And he responded and became a follower of that one that used to be his brother and became a follower of Jesus Christ the Savior. But James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and he does not withhold that wisdom. If you ask for wisdom and desire wisdom to find your way here in this world, the Lord will give you that wisdom that you need. That wisdom that you just don't think you can have here in the world. Sometimes we get frustrated because we don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. And sometimes we just sort of put things on hold and we begin to say, well, it'll all work out in the long run. Well, some of it will. But some of it won't work out unless we follow that which is right and just and holy before God. So the psalmist said, I refrain my feet from every evil way. That which is improper, that which is evil, that which is wrong, I'm not going to walk in it. And I must know what the will of God is in order to walk in His law. And in His way, I must seek out the wisdom of God. So we're glad that we have the wisdom books. In the 112th verse of Psalm 119, listen to what is said here. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes. You know what incline means? It means to lean toward. And the psalmist is saying here, I'm leaning toward God. I'm making an effort. It may be a struggle, but I'm leaning toward God because I need His wisdom. I need His righteousness. I need His law. I need understanding that I might fulfill that which is right and just in my discipleship. How wonderful it is to be a disciple of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A disciple is a learner, and there's so much that we need to learn. And you know, there's so much that even all of our days, if we spend time from the time that we're very small to live a great age, life is short. May seem long, but it's short. I finally decided and made the decision recently that I'm going to retire, Lord willing, my next birthday. And I'll turn 69 my next birthday. And I figured that by then I'll be having worked 50 years. And so I plan to retire. But you know, there's some things in life that you, it's a stage that you never get to, and that's perfection. You never get there, and you keep pressing forward. And you need a desire to keep learning and to keep studying the Bible and seeking the wisdom that it gives us, because it gives us wisdom for every age level. The Lord Jesus has that wisdom. Adam didn't have that wisdom. You look back at Adam and he was created as a grown man, and he never was a child, so he could not understand what being a child was. He must have been pretty perplexed when his children begin to be born and see these little creatures and that he never was. He never was a kid, and he didn't understand being a kid. He didn't understand being a baby, and he didn't understand being a child. He was created as an adult. He missed a lot of things because childhood is a wonderful thing. Childhood, being a child and being able to express yourself as a child is just a great blessing. That's why I love to see these children. And they're all such a great blessing that God has given us while we live here in time. So, this one inclined his heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. You know, sometimes we don't like to think about the end, do we? But, you know, all things have an end. You watch an interesting movie, and you know, everything that Hollywood has put out has not been trash. Most of it has, but, you know, there's been some good moral movies that have come out, and you sit and watch it, and it's such a, it grabs hold of you in such a way, and then you enjoy it, and then all of a sudden, it comes to an end. All things in life come to an end. Life and breath ends. And here was the end of a goal, is what this psalmist is seeing here. He wanted to incline his heart to lean toward God, to lean in the Lord's direction, not to draw away from God, but to lean toward God. And that's what we all need. We lean toward the one who's loved us with an everlasting love. The one to whom we owe everything. We owe a debt of love to him that we'll never be able to pay, because he loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us so fully and so freely that he gave his own life. He suffered in agony. He suffered. He suffered not only physically, but he suffered spiritually. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father turned his own back upon his own son and turned away from him. And he did that for you. And I trust me, he did that for all of his elect and chosen people. He loved us with an everlasting love. And that gives us a reason then, does it not, to incline toward him and toward his law and toward what he has done for us. But the psalmist here not only mentions about the inclining heart, but he mentions unto the end, unto the very end. When we draw our last breath, and we hear that call that calls us out of this world, and we're transported to a greater and a lovelier and a far better land. But while we live here, we seek his law and incline our hearts toward him. Oh, how blessed we will be. And I think that we'll find the way of peace. There is a way of peace in walking in the Lord's will and in the Lord's way. In the 114th verse, listen to what this says. Thou art my hiding place. Do you need a hiding place? I do. I need a hiding place from the harms of this world. I need a hiding place. And I'm glad that we have that hiding place. And his name is Christ Jesus. He's the rifted rock. He's the rock of ages. He's the one to whom we can come that has all understanding. And we can cry out to him. And he knows our need. He's our hiding place. And my shield, I hope in thy word. There's hope in the word of God. Hope is such a wonderful thing. You know, there's people that make fun of the doctrine of hope that the old Baptists rejoice in. And that's because they fail to understand exactly what hope is. Hope is not just a wish. It's not just a thought, a good thought, a good positive thought. That's not what hope is. There's a lot of people went to the convenience store last night and they spent money that they needed for other things, and they spent money on the lottery just in the hope that they were going to win, and most of them do not win. Hey, I entered the Publishers Clearinghouse contest. Is that wrong? I don't think so, but I entered, and I did buy a diabetic. I'm a diabetic, so I bought. I thought that would help me, and I bought a magazine that's for diabetics to read, and I'll get some benefit from that. But the big benefit, I don't know whether I'll get it. It's August, the last of August, and they say that they're going to drive up to your door, and they've already sent me an email that said that they know where I live. They've got my address, and they've got it mapped out. And so when my name's drawn, there will be no confusion. All they have to do is jump in the van, and they'll drive to my house and ring the doorbell. And hey, I checked my doorbell recently to make sure that it is working. And so I'm waiting, and I have a little hope that, you know, maybe could it be that they're going to or ring. And I open the door, and they're standing there, and they've got smiles on their faces, and they got that big old check that says $15 million. I'd probably die of a heart attack. At least my family would, I guess they would get it. They could use it. There's not a whole lot of hope in that. You know, sometimes we use the expression, I hope I'll get paid next payday. And mine's automatic deposit, and it goes in, you know, and I have some trust that it's going to go in. I worked at a place years ago that I thought that it was going to go in, and I was expecting it, and for some reason it didn't go in. And that's not pleasant. But hope, what is hope? Biblically speaking, it's not just a wish, it's not just a desire, but it's an earnest expectation. Earnest expectation that the Lord has laid in the hearts of all of His children. It's there. It's vital. Hope goes beyond human knowledge, because you can lose what's here. You can lose it. I work with people every day. I work in a mental hospital, and I work with people that's lost it here. They don't have it anymore. We've got a few that never did have much of it. It's not there. But dear little child of God, I've noticed in my 20 years of working with the mentally ill, it's just so many times you can know, you can tell, and you can see that it's not here. But the knowledge that they have that the love of God is hid within their heart is here. It's within. It cannot be taken away from them. One of my favorite patients. One day I was in the day room, and she says to me, Eddie, will you pray for me? I said, yeah. I said, I can pray. And if you want me to pray for you, I'll be glad to pray for you. And before I could say anything, she began to pray. She bowed her head and began to pray. Prayed a sweet prayer. When she finished, she looked up at me. And I said, Azalee, do you love the Lord? I could tell that she did, but I just wanted to hear her say it. She said, I love the Lord. I said, Azalee, do you know why you love the Lord? I thought I would, you know, I was a Primitive Baptist, and I understood this, that if we love Him, it's because He first loved us. And I didn't know that she knew that, so I was wanting to help her along the way. And I said, Azalee, do you know why you love the Lord? Guess what she said? Because he first loved me. I said, hallelujah, that's true. He loved you, and therefore you love him. What a great lesson we have before our sin. And we have that hope in the Word of our Lord, the living hope, Jesus Christ, the Word of life. We have that hope because he's put it within our heart, and it's something that is enduring. It's something that we're going to carry with us even when we leave this world. We hear that expression sometimes, you're not going to take anything with you when you die. I beg to differ from that expression because it's not true. There's a lot of things you're not going to take with you when you leave this world. But there's some very important things that you are going to carry with you when you leave this world. And one of them is that love that you have for your family and that you have for your Lord. You're going to have that same love. It's not going to be taken away from you. It's yours. The Lord gave it to you. He loved you with an everlasting love. He put it within your heart, and it'll go to heaven with you when you go. I'm glad that it will. There's so many things that we don't need and we're not going to take with us. In the 116th verse of Psalm 119, uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. If anyone ever tells you that you need more than a hope, rejoice that you have that hope that the Lord gave you, and it belongs to you because he put it within your heart, and you have that hope and you're not ashamed of it. It's a wonderful hope that we have. Verse 131 of this 119th Psalm, the psalmist said, I opened my mouth and panted. You know what it is to pant, don't you? If you've got a puppy, you know, when that puppy gets excited and he runs all over the place, and all of a sudden he's panting. His tongue sticking out, and sometimes it's got water dripping from it. You've seen little puppies. They're fascinating to look at. And they begin to pant because they're thirsty. And so this is describing something about the children of God. They get thirsty and they get hungry. And they pant. And it says, for I long for thy commandments. The little child of God, he longs for the commandments of God. He longs for the companionship of God. And when he doesn't find that here in the world, he begins to be a very lonely creature. But when he finds that companionship and that compassion that the Lord has, and they have that communication with each other. Have you ever considered, do we ever consider how important and how vital prayer is? When we pray and when we talk to God, does he hear us when we pray? Sometimes, you know, we get to doubting, don't we? And then when we get to doubting, we just, what do we do? Generally, we quit praying. But that's what we ought not do. Keep praying. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls my soul from a world of care. The sweet hour of prayer is talking about the time that we come before the throne of God and we talk to our Lord and Savior about how good he's been to us and how wonderful he's been to us. We talk to him. Isn't it wonderful to be able to talk to God? Can you imagine? You know, if I was to ask you, of anyone in the world that you could talk to, who would you want to talk to? And you know, a lot of people's got personalities that they would like to talk to. And some people, they want to talk to this Hollywood character or this politician or this famous person. Who would you want to talk to? Who would you want an audience with if you could just choose anyone in the world? But you know, always the best answer for that is God, the one who created the universe, the one who not only created it, but controls it. It belongs to Him. And everything that's designed in nature, He designed it exactly the way that He wanted it to be. Why believe a fairy tale that these little gases were just floating all around and suddenly they bumped into each other and pow, there was a big explosion and all of a sudden the universe was there. You know, usually in an explosion it tears everything up. Everything is scattered to pieces. That big bang, yes, I believe in a big bang because there was a big God that created it by His own spoken word. He called it into being, and we see the design of it in nature. A couple of weeks ago, I was out on the patio at work, and I was sitting with some of the patients, and they were carrying on some of their conversations that some of them carry on, and none of it made sense. But I looked down on the ground, and there was three little wildflowers. Perfect little wildflowers. And guess what they were doing? They were praising God. You say, how does a wildflower praise God? Had their little petals lifted up toward their Creator. And they were in perfection and beauty. How intricate was the design of them. And God performed a great miracle, didn't He? When He created. I like to read what scientists say. I've never really been scientifically minded, but I love to read about the discoveries that they make, and they talk about the majesty of the universe. Even those that don't believe in God, the scientists that don't believe in God, they see the design of it and they're amazed. But they don't want to give credit to the Creator. I'm glad that there's some Christian scientists that talk about the order of it, and they talk about the universe, and it just keeps going on and on and on, and they see no end to it. Is there an end to the universe? I used to ask my mom about that. I asked her one time, I said, Mama, what's beyond the universe? Does it have an end? She said, well, I don't know. But she said, if it does have an end, what's there at the end? Does it have an end? I don't know. But I do know the one that's there. He's everywhere. And He's in control of all things. Those things that we don't understand. Someday after a while, I imagine that our understanding will be increased. I can't ever, that's hard to figure it out. And we talk about a world on the other side of where we're going to understand more, and we're going to see more, but will we ever be able to understand it all? I don't know. I can't tell you those things. But I do know that God is in charge. And how wonderful it is that we can come before Him in prayer and we can communicate with Him and we can tell Him our thoughts and our needs. You say, well, He already knows what we need. He does. But He loves for us to communicate with Him. To talk with Him. And we can do it. Wherever we go, wherever we're at, it doesn't cost anything to communicate with your Creator, with your God. So, we ought to long for the commandments of God while we live here. In verse 147 of the 119th Psalm, listen to what it says. I prevented the dawning of the morning. Now this is King James scripture. I love the King James Bible. Sometimes I'm asked, do you use any other Bible? Do you ever consult any other Bible in my own personal study. I do, but as far as the preaching from the stand, the King James Scripture. This is what it says. I prevented the dawning of the morning. Does that mean that the morning was getting ready to arrive and the psalmist stopped it from arriving, rising? So what he's talking about, I prevented. And what he's saying is, I got up real early. I got up early. You know, that's a good practice, isn't it? Get up early. Get the day started. The psalmist said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. I got up early because I had an expectation. I got up early because the Lord is my Lord. And I had an expectation. I wanted to hear from him. I wanted to communicate with him. So I got up early in the morning, get an early start. It's always good to get an early start. If we don't get an early start, we're going to lose out. But dear little child of God, we as God's little children, we can come before him. We can cry out to our Lord. We can have a sweet hour of prayer where we're at. We can talk to our Savior. And he answers. How does he answer? I saw something on Facebook a couple of days ago that really illustrated it for me about what prayer is. Showed this guy, he sat down at the table and he had his Bible on the other side of the table, and he was over here, and he began to pray and he said, Lord, let me hear thy voice audibly. I want to hear you speak audibly. Please talk to me audibly. And guess what? Nothing was said. But he had the word of God over here, and he's crying out, speak to me audibly. But did you know, dear little child of God, when you've got this book, you've got the best thing that you possibly can have. Go back to the time that God was speaking audibly with certain men. And you'll see what happened to them. And it wasn't good. Some of them began to boast. And pride entered their heart. And then those that looked upon those that had heard the voice of God audibly, they laughed and made fun of them. What's the best way that God can speak to you? The best way that God speaks to you is through this word. It's unchanging. Cannot be altered. We have the expression in one of the songs we sing, all things in nature decay, and everything that is in nature vanishes. But that which God has penned down for us to benefit from stays with us. And we can lay it up within our heart. We can memorize it. We can reflect upon it and take it with us wherever we go. The Lord's Word is so valuable. So this psalmist, he got up early. He wanted to get ahead on his day, and he got up early that he might commune with God. And enjoy the hope that the Lord had given him. And I want to talk about one more resolution that we find in verse 164 of Psalms 119. This is what the psalmist said. 7 times a day do I praise thee. And did that mean that he picked out 7 particular times, and 7 and only 7, not 6, not 5, but 7. 7 is the number in the Word of God that talks about completion. It's God's number. It's a fullness. Guess what your number is and my number? 6. That's man's number. It falls short of 7. It never compares with 7. It's not made to. It never will. It does not compare with 7. But the psalmist says, 7 times a day do I praise Thee. And the way that we praise Him, when we praise Him, we're fulfilling this scripture. We're praising Him in fullness. We praise Him this morning for all the blessings that He has given us. Everything that we have, we owe to Him. Everything that you have, dear little child of God, that the Lord has given you, and He's kept you, and He's guided you, and He's guarded you, and He owes none of you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. He's not in our debt. We're in His debt. We owe Him a debt of love. And how can we pay it? Well, the plain fact is we never will, but we make payments on it. And we can do that when we tell Him that we love Him, and not only tell Him that we love Him, when we show that we love Him by what we do and the way we act and the way we treat people. And all those things are very important. We need those things. There's not a politician here in this world, I don't care who they are, I don't know, I don't care what their gender is or what their party affiliation is. There's no man, woman here in this world, in the political sense, that will ever solve the problems of this world. Just won't happen. We can get excited about this politician and this party and this platform, but it never has happened and never will happen. But we've got a Lord that's in control. And we're headed for a perfect world. And we're going to arrive there safely by the grace and by the power of God Almighty. You can depend upon Him. The hope that you have, dear little child of God, is not like the publisher's clearinghouse. I thought I was on board. I fulfilled the requirement. It said I didn't have to purchase anything to win. But I was afraid, so I thought, well, maybe if I purchase something, I'll win. And guess what? I purchased. And I keep getting these emails. You got to do one more thing. You got to complete this. And please don't forfeit your 15 million. Don't give it up. Don't turn your back on it. You still can win. Something's wrong somewhere, isn't it? Dear little child of God, that which we have before us is given to us by grace. It's not going to be taken away from you. You're not going to lose it. It's valuable. It's wonderful. 7 times a day do I praise Thee. Because of Thy righteous judgments. The King of Kings reigns. He's in control. Yesterday I went out on the patio at work, and it was gloomy, and it was getting ready to rain, and some of the patients wanted to go outside, so I tucked them outside for a little bit, and I looked at the clouds descend, and I began to think about the trouble here in this world. Heartache. Affliction. Disease. Troubled hearts. Broken homes. Lives ruined by alcohol and drugs. And you know, if that's all there was of the world, it would be a sad, sad situation. It's real. Humanity by nature is in one big mess. But dear little child of God, we have that hope that some sweet day after a while, and I'm sure it's sooner than any of us could ever expect or think about, our Lord is going to descend upon the clouds. You know, some people say, well, that's not literal clouds. I think it encompasses little literal clouds. I think it's also talking about a great cloud of His people. But be that as it may, He's going to descend because He said that He was coming back, and He's going to come back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And how will you know it when you hear His voice? You'll know it, dear little child of God, because you've already heard it. You say, when did I hear it, Brother Eddie? When did I hear the voice of God? You heard the voice of God when He called you forth in regeneration. He spoke and called you forth, and you responded. And dear little child of God, it's not going to be a sound that you've never heard. You responded in regeneration. And when the Lord comes back and He steps out and He calls His little children out of this world, and they're going to rise. They're going to rise and shine. What an expectation. Dear little child of God, I don't know what might be discouraging you today, but I do know that you're human beings just like I am, and you get discouraged. You get dismayed. Sometimes the plans that you've made fall through, and you expected so much. Sometimes people let you down. Dearest people on earth, the ones that you thought loved you, they let you down. Why do they let you down? Because they're human. Why do we let others down? Because we're human. But you've got a Savior that loves you with an everlasting love. He's concerned about you, and He loves you, and He's interested in every little portion of your life. Don't ever think that there is something that is too small for God to care about. That's not true. He knows everything about you. Just look at some of the language that the Lord employed to make you know that He cares for you. One was, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Can you imagine that? And you know, I'm getting challenged up here, and baldness runs in my family. And I look back over some of the pictures that I've had taken, and year by year, you know, they're clearing out. And maybe at some point they'll all be gone, and I'm not going to worry about it. Somebody asked me, said, why don't you get a wig? And that way when you know, when all of it falls out, you'll have that to depend on. I don't want a wig. Too much to take care of. I don't want it. I'll take it as it comes, and because the Lord's numbered it anyway. And if I'm as bald as an onion, it won't matter to me. The thing that does matter to me is whether I'm walking and living in such a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. I want that. I need that. I need to be resolved to find that. When you get my age, and when you get to any age, be resolved. If you're young, be resolved to walk in the pathways of your Lord and Master. If you're an older adult, be resolved to follow Him in all things. When you get to be very old, and you know by nature that your race is about run, be resolved to rejoice in Him and to continue to walk in His ways unto the very end. It'll do us good. May the Lord bless each and every one of us, my prayer.
We are the friends. still cry.